Welcome, everybody. This is Jose Palomino with another episode of Business Growth on Purpose. Our guest today is Jeremy Poland. He's the CEO and founder of DIY SEO. And yes, we're going to be talking about SEO. And we're going to find out that it's not necessarily a dark, deep, mystical art, but it's something that can be understood, that can be learned. And we're going to get a lot of key pointers from Jeremy as he joins our show right now. Well, welcome, Jeremy, to Business Growth on Purpose.
Thank you. Hey, welcome. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Even though you're wearing a Houston Astro, is that a Houston Astro?
This is a Houston Astro hat. I'm branding my hometown everywhere I go. So
Wow. Well, I'm a Yankee fan, so that's them fighting words, you know. But hey, there you go. Okay. I was watching ESPN had a good. A good documentary series on Derek Jeter called The Captain. It was reliving some of those days, when they were on the ascendancy. But it's been a while. It's 2009.
Yankee days are past. Goodness.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, 27 championships. What are you going to do? You know, so I guess
that's true.
Got to figure out. Maybe this is the year. So, but you guys
black
have
and white, spot. Black and white footage of the championships.
Yeah, there you go. Something like that. Well, so Jeremy, just for our audience to get context, what do you do and who do you do it for?
Thank you so much. So I've run a digital agency for the past 5 years. Backstory before that, I was a Christian pastor. I got into book publishing, and it led me down essentially a solo path of digital marketing. I started moonlighting, doing side jobs for clients, building WordPress websites, SEO, advising on all things online. And it led into a full-time agency, which eventually led me to specialize in SEO for small, medium-sized businesses. And now I run my startup called DIY SEO, which tailors my system into a user-accessible format for small businesses, mid folks who basically really would like to control the process, but would like the resources of an agency without the high price tag.
And also knowing what the right thing to do is, right?
Yeah, that's a hard thing. Ultimately, nobody can do it better than yourself. I mean, we all know that cliche, and it does apply to many parts of life. Of course, it's great to outsource in many cases. But I found with SEO, when people can connect their message and their knowledge and their understanding with the online game, and at least a basic to a medium understanding of how Google works and how the SEO game is played, they can achieve very powerful results for themselves without spending tens of thousands of dollars, which I think a lot of people have done, you know, potentially with low to no results.
With low to no result. That is a true story. So let's dig into that a little bit, right? So SEO, it's kind of a black art, right? In terms of it's complex, it's hard. When people try to get into it, try to read about it, it just seems like it's confusing. It makes your head hurt.
Yes.
Unless you're already oriented towards those things, right? Like, and then you become an SEO specialist, right? So I guess my first question for you, Jeremy, is what are some, in your experience, maybe they were true once, but they're not true now, like what I call bad beliefs, things that people believe about SEO that are no longer or maybe never were true.
Sure. Okay. I'll give two really quick horrendous beliefs, and then I'll give one sort of lingering misconception that I think could be improved. Two sort of the horrendous historical beliefs are keyword bombing on a page. That was sort of, you know, 1998. Someone could write blue hat 100 times, even hidden with, you know, white HTML or something like behind a page. And Google really destroyed that concept by figuring out that the best way to rank and order websites was following the backlinks and figuring out what was truly relevant and what was being recognized by other people around the web. So that's horrendous practice number one. Horrendous practice number two is building backlinks at like mass or scale using, you know, like a black hat technique or an automated tool or, you know, signing up, you know, from somebody overseas or something to do that at a very big scale or blast. So that's another bad idea. A common misconception right now, though, that I think applies to so many people is an over-focus on-site SEO or what we might call technical SEO. And these are terms that many times prospects or business owners that I encounter quickly throw out. They'll say, oh, what about alt tags and metadata and site speed? those are all important aspects, but it's a relatively small piece of the puzzle. And those are usually very quickly fixable items, almost like a car needing a tune-up. You can go spend an hour and a half at the quality car shop, pay your $170, and you've just fixed six issues on your vehicle, and you are ready to go for another 6-9 months. That's probably how people should view on-site SEO. And I feel like they're sort of leading out with that, or thinking that's the majority of the game, when that's not really the majority of the game. The majority of the game is backlinking, connecting with relevant and authoritative sites, and then also increasing social media attention to your brand and to your website. So those are the, you know, that provides the horsepower. And when I look at, you know, why does company A outrank company B? That is the deal. It's the number of backlinks and the quality and power of the backlinks that make all the difference.
So, Jeremy, one thing in regards to that, which I think is interesting. So I find that a lot of firms that do SEO, mm-hmm. they really focus on making a big show of that technical SEO, because mm-hmm. it's what they have control over. They can directly mm-hmm. control it. You could take a site that hasn't been well maintained for a couple of years and you can fix technical things. Oh boy, that page has two H1 tags. Let's you know, one of those has to be fixed. Let's make sure we have the all for all the images and so on. But what you're telling us here is that in fact, that the juice squeeze ratio is not that great a return. I mean, you probably not have a bad technical site, but it's a fairly easy fix.
That's what I'm saying. For the majority of small to mid-sized users, unless someone's site is huge or massive and has hundreds or potentially thousands of pages or thousands of products, or in that case, then a potentially sizable on-site or sort of technical cleanup or review could certainly be beneficial and helpful and all those things. Ultimately, these are things that could take days, weeks at max, and then people can really, fly forward.
But there's a whole industry though in the SEO world. And pardon me just a second here, Jeremy, because I've been on the other side of this. I've advised clients on this because we don't do the hands-on work. We always advise them to who to work with. Okay. Is, you know, you get SEO firms that get into like this monthly retainer for technical SEO for a 20-page business site. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense because there's not
I mean, there is some value in having it looked over and watched, and there are changes, or, you know, there are times when, you know, your CMS might change your URL or just something may get thrown off. So there's certainly some value in some sort of oversight if that's a reasonable price, and there's if it matters to the company, or maybe that same agency is doing web hosting and what general web maintenance and stuff like that. So that kind of thing can make sense. My primary, you know, point that I'm submitting to your audience is that when it comes to SEO, the overwhelming focus should be on networking the site with other relevant quality websites and improving the SEO game. The social media game as it relates to SEO, getting more comments, likes, views, the whole shebang, because those are really the two primary factors. And the ultimate question, which all business owners are asking, how can I rank higher and get more traffic? So if someone's goal is to rank higher, quickly fix some on-site stuff, boom, and then bring the primary focus to, okay, how do we build more backlinks? How many backlinks? I call it the referring domain gap, tiny bit of jargon there, but a referring domain is just a single website sending a backlink to your website. So we're just looking for one outside website to give us one backlink. That's a referring domain. The typical gap is 100 to 200 referring domains between the strong competitor and the new website or the newcomer. So
not all backlinks are created equal though.
They're definitely not all equal. And that's why I'm mentioning authoritative sites. There's a 1 to 100 scale called the domain authority, another worthy term that people can and should grab a hold of. I use a little free toolbar. So as I'm browsing the web, I see that site's domain authority.
Okay.
And it just helps me. So yes, and what we do with DIY SEO is we've studied the practices of higher performing brands, businesses, websites, and we've cataloged where and how they've gotten backlinks. And then we line it up for people to say, here are some backlinks to build on a monthly basis. And by build, I mean connect with the website. Sometimes it's building a profile, right? Like sort of like social media or like a business directory. Sometimes it involves emailing somebody, some sort of interaction. Could you add us to your website? You know, I make notes. This Philadelphia directory costs $25. I recommend you join. Its domain authority is a 45, which is solid. And so I also have free little SEO, you know, kind of the lower end stuff that you can quickly, you know, drop in your URL, get a backlink, that kind of thing. And then I also have industry-based links. So if someone's in tech, if someone's in accounting, in finance, I've got links that pertain to firms in that industry that other high-performing sites within that industry have connected with. And I'm showing, you know, this roofing company, hey, here are 20 roofing-related sites that the big boys have connected with. Follow this path. So, you know, join Roofing Directory 101.
Jeremy, I want to unpack that just a little bit because it's a little.
Sure, sorry. Go ahead.
No. It's. I think this is great because I want to get to a little bit on the mechanics, which is this thought, right? So let's say I find, for the sake of argument, I make a particular type of machine, a grinding machine. I'm an OEM and I sell it to industrial people. And I see a high authority site, a journal of my industry that has backlinks to some of my competitors. Okay.
Yes.
It usually in the article, like they write an article on the best grinding machines available. And they mention Acme grinder. You know, Acme is my nemesis, right? So, I wish I could be in that page right next to Acme. And I know they have high authority and I'd be really good for my SEO, but there's still a human element that somebody at that journal has to decide.
Yes.
To include a link or a reference to my company, my site. How do I get them to do? I can't like make them do that. I have to ask them somehow.
Great point. Yes. We have a variety of scenarios just like that sort of within our repository. If that person was, let's say, using DIY SEO, they could even lateral that to me and our team and say, hey, can you scope this site out? What I would do is I would attempt to find an email. I do have tools that can scrape emails off sites sometimes if they're not as visible. There may be a contact form, et cetera. And yes, the ultimate example, just really what you said, somebody from your client or the company that we're speaking about would reach out to that scholarly journal or that industry publication with an email, well-written, you know, one, two paragraphs and say, would you please add us? And attempting to understand why companies are listed there. Did they pay money to join?
Okay.
Did they submit an expert quote? Did they, sign a pledge? I actually have a whole section of pledges. Companies can go and sign pledges, you know, hopefully ethically agreeing to the pledge. And then be listed on various websites. Some are environmental, some are inclusion, some are.
Wow, that's interesting. I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, so I catalog this stuff and I'm like lining it up for people so that they can move faster on this process. I've spent hundreds of hours online. I realized this was kind of my geeky superpower. I like to spy on competitors, backlinks, and high-performing websites, backlinks, and so answer that question you gave me. So in the example of a OEM manufacturer, I've got stuff ready to go that they can quickly start down. They could go down the startup path if they're relatively new. I've got links for startups, newer companies. They can go down like I've got some academic style paths where people can offer a scholarship and then they can quickly get listed on university websites. I've got the emails of specific people. You know, so
now this is a little different than actually, and maybe it's not contradictory, but like, for example, HubSpot for a long time had their preferred SEO methodology of having like a core content and then splinter content, kind of like the hub and spoke idea. Is that effective? Does that still work? Having great content?
That's a really good point. I think it's very effective. I'm maybe coming from a slightly different angle, still honoring that principle. Many of the people that I've encountered and I work with are almost admitting that they're not going to produce incredible content. That's just not what they're willing and able to do at this time. But they realize if they, what I'm showing them is, hey, if you build this, if you close this 100 referring domain gap, you're going to see measurably increased results. It also would move you to assess your content in light of other of your competitors' content. And you could definitely get some gains there. But what I'm recognizing is that the majority of small, mid-sized users are not going to operate like a media outlet or a, you know, an online blog.
Because it's very frustrating. There's one, and I won't name his name, but one really top, well-known media SEO guru.
Okay.
And his advice was, study the best content out there in your subject area, the very best, and just create a better article than that. And I'm saying, oh, so like to have a bestseller, find the best selling book and just write a better book. That's like, if I could do that already, I wouldn't need the advice. I mean, it was kind of a, like a circular reasoning. It drove me crazy. Right. I said, a lot of people can't just write a better article than the best one in the category.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I do see where that could be daunting. I might say to this example that we've created of the OEM manufacturer, it would behoove them to harness that type of advice potentially for 2 or 3 pages max.
Okay.
For the page about, you know, the elongated widget A and the, you know, short widget B, the exact term for the product that people are searching for that they make, they probably don't have that competitive of a spear of, you know, with the other manufacturers of the elongated, you know, widget A. So they should consider besting the content that exists, which is probably a picture of the item, model numbers, SKUs, and perhaps a slim paragraph. So if they come along and say, we're gonna make better 3 pages and we're gonna have 5 paragraphs. We're gonna talk about it. We're gonna have multiple images. So there really is a place for making content better within reason for the small to medium.
Well, but you just described it as a doable activity.
I think
the advice at the highest level feels like just like, okay, I just have to be, you know, I have to be GE or some other major corporate site, right?
I know what you mean. Some people, especially if they're selling like a health and wellness product or something, there is voluminous information out there about those subjects, and it's hard to step in and be authoritative with your 1-year-old website or whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe they've got a unique shake or a unique product, and that's cool, but they're just not going to rank super high for green smoothies. I mean, let's be real. So some of it is understanding, you know, the end user, the listener, understanding what niche or what arena they're competing in, what's realistic. And I guess where I might differ from that expert's message or maybe the way that his message was heard is that mid-size and small users do not have to consistently build powerful content. They need to check a few boxes and make sure they've got quality content for the pages or the posts that really matter for their SEO game. And for a lot of people, it may just be 2 terms, right? I mean, two sort of top tier terms that have a lot of various variations.
Right.
And you include the variations within those quality 2-3 pages. So back to the major game of, look, we need 200 new referring domains. I think that's where the majority of your listenership is probably lacking. It's if everyone listening to this and like really tuned into SEO quickly went out and built 200 referring domains with a mix of low, medium, and high quality sources, they would see, you know, a massive boost. And then that would probably provide the momentum or even the justification to maybe go to the marketing team or something. Hey, let's make these 2-3 pages better. Okay, that's, you know, so just kind of almost starting the whole engine with the excitement of, hey, we just got listed on 50 local, you know, directories, 3 university pages. One tip I love to share with people is creating a discount for categories like first responders, military, educators, medical, seniors, the list can go on. And if they will honor those different categories with discount, it's clearly stated on a unique page. So, you know, company.com/military discounts. The discount percentage can be the same for those different categories. Then I've got a list of websites that catalog discount opportunities for those categories. So someone can take their military discount page and quickly outreach to 30 sites that list military or veteran discounts. Then they're generating, you know, a good percentage of those. Wow. We cannot force people to respond on the other end. Like you mentioned earlier, there is a human often approving or disapproving. And it, you know, it almost comes down to maybe a follow-up at times, like making a note. I sent my first request on July 11th. If I don't hear or don't, you know, I'll maybe give it a month and then I'm going to circle back, you know, hello, militaryveterans.com. We'd love to make sure that our discount is listed on your page. And you know, it's just kind of simple human relations that
what's very exciting about the things you shared with us so far, Jeremy, and again, I know we could go like, you know, three episodes on this, the deep topic.
You're good.
But I think it everything you've described so far, as I'm sitting here listening, I'm saying, okay, this is doable. It's human scale. It doesn't feel like, boy, I better hire myself, you know, five SEO specialists to pull this off. And it sounds like I can actually make progress incrementally and get better at it. I mean,
that's a fantastic way to put it. Incremental progress, much like working out or weight loss or education that all of us have done at various times in our life. That's what I'm laying out. I mean, a 6 to 12 month makeover in a sense for the majority of people, which includes training aspects, but focused on actionable learning, you know, learning for the purpose of playing the game right now. You know, right. I'm not training other SEO professionals. I'm not seeking to train other SEO professionals. And a lot of the material that I encounter online about SEO.
It's very SEO for SEO people.
Yeah, it's SEO for SEO. And this is SEO for people who would like to know enough to be dangerous in the context of their business. And so that's why I am boiling or distilling certain elements down. And I'm making, you know, I'm presenting certain aspects like the backlinking in this way. And so I do have a 6 to 12 month program. You follow this, you unleash a few special plays, like I mentioned scholarships or I mentioned discounts. There are various company assets that people can harness for online PR and SEO benefit, like an event, potentially like a community sponsorship, things that they're already doing oftentimes, or that they, you know, may have been desiring to do, and they can just find a reason to do it. Off job posts, career pages, all of these are newsworthy elements that other websites and other publications would like to feature. And so it's just kind of a matter of
because they need other sites need content.
Other sites need information.
They
need
and you're already producing it as you described. It might be on your Facebook page or your LinkedIn page or your corporate page. Jeremy, we could keep going, but we're going to pause right here. And I just want to really make sure that anyone listening knows how to get a hold of you. So where should they go if somebody listening to this wanted to know more about you and about what you do?
Thank you so much, Jose. So I operate at DIYSEO.link, and I do have an online presentation that it's about 12 minutes long. It goes into detail about how a small business can grab a hold of this. I also license this to marketing agencies. So I have a presentation that explains how they can use my system to fulfill SEO service projects as well.
Oh, fantastic. So we'll make sure that's in the show notes. Jeremy, thank you for stopping by. Really appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you so much, Jose.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Business Growth on Purpose. If you like the show, hit subscribe and leave us a review to help other people find the podcast. And if you're ready to take the next step in driving intentional growth for your business, come check out what we're doing at valueprop.com. We've developed industry-leading programs and systems to help B2B owners take control of their growth. Until then, thanks for listening to another episode of Business Growth on Purpose.